happened this week that reminded me of a similar instance a year ago. A year ago tomorrow, my wife and I flew into Boston for a vacation. And we had, months beforehand, we had rented a car. We had gone online and made sure we had a car for that day, for that vacation. So we show up at the airport, and we go up to the rental counter, and they do all of our paperwork, and we sign it all. And, you know, they, you know, do you want to buy $20 in insurance? You can total this thing. And no, I didn't do that. Okay. They give us a thing. They go, follow the arrows out there to the parking garage, and our attendants out there will take care of you. So we go out to the parking garage. When we walked out to the parking garage, the first thing you notice, this entire floor of this parking garage, and it's huge. It's like as big as 2 football fields. There's no cars in the parking garage. There is a person that works for the rental car company there at a little booth. And we go up and we give her our paperwork. You know, I say, Willis, we're here to pick up a rental car. She looks like one of those people that any moment now is going to beat one of her coworkers with a stapler, right? I mean, she is at her wit's end. And she looks at me and she says, I'm so sorry. She goes, they have way overbooked me from the counter inside. She goes, I don't have any cars. As we get them in, we'll give them out. And there's about 20 people in front of me waiting for cars. So my wife and I are like, well, this is going to take a minute. So we go over and find a spot on a bench and sit down. The one thing I did notice when I came out, the parking garage is empty. Except for in the far corner over there, there's 6 minivans. I didn't know what those were for, but I'm sitting there. After about 5 minutes, the lady at the little counter who is actually physically pulling her hair out, she comes around the counter with her little clipboard and she goes, folks, I'm so sorry for the delays today. She said, we're trying our best. She goes, I don't have any cars at the moment, but I do have minivans. Would anybody take a minivan? And my wife and I are like, yeah, we'll take it. We were the only ones. Nobody else wanted it. Everybody else was like, no, I want the car I paid for. And I was like, I want to leave the parking garage. I was like, I'll take whatever you got, you know. So we went over. We had a delightful vacation for the next 2 weeks. The minivan was actually larger than the vehicle we were going to rent. We had a grand time in it, but it kind of struck me that people were like, ew, no, I don't want a minivan. So this past week, my wife and I are driving a rental again because her car's in the shop getting repaired. And so we had this rental, and as we were driving it, as luck would have it, we blew a tire. I don't know what we drove over, but it punched a golf ball-sized hole in the tire. It was huge. So they couldn't patch the hole, so I called, I won't tell you what company it was, but it rhymes with Pentaprise. So I called the company up, and I said, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, take the car back, and we'll just switch you out for another one, and then we've got tires, we'll put new tires on. I said, okay. So I drove back to the Enterprise place, and I said, hey, I need to switch cars. And the girl goes, oh, yeah. She goes, we are really full today. She goes, I'm sorry, I don't have any cars available. Unless you want to drive a minivan. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a minivan is a car, right? It 4 wheels, steering wheel, stereo. Right? I just want to go home, lady. I don't understand how a minivan's not a car. I was like, yeah, we'll take a minivan, sure. And they put us, it's a nice Dodge Caravan we're driving around now. But it kind of struck me on people, well, it's not a car, it's a minivan. They're all cars. They got an engine, they got 4 wheels, it's a car. I don't care what you call it, it's a car. We just need a car. It got me to thinking, this is our second week talking about stewardship. This is the time of the year when we set our budget for next year, when we ask you to consider what you can give, when we decide how much we can spend on mission and ministry, on expenses and building and staff. Stewardship and budget go hand in hand. Through your estimation of giving is how we set what the budget will be. And that's important. Our finance committee is working hard. Our trustees and board members are working hard to put together a budget that is faithful and connected to God's kingdom. In our stewardship request to all of you, we ask what you will tithe in the next year. The tithe is your regular, committed, consistent giving. In other words, I look at my budget for next year and I say, I'm going to tithe X amount of dollars. And that means every month I'm going to put 1/12 of X in the offering plate for my tithe. That's what I'm going to give. Whether it's on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or a quarterly basis or a yearly basis, you look at your income, your resources, and you say, this is what I will regularly give. And from that, that's what we set our budget on. That's what we determine how we can spend the monies here faithfully for God's kingdom, how we can use them for the mission, the outreach of this church. But sometimes in this conversation, all of our focus ends up on the budget. And the budget is important. I don't want to get the evil eye from Dixie sitting down there that the budget's not important. The budget is very important. But sometimes that's all we talk about, when the fact of the matter is, it's not all about the budget. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 7 starts out, these are the statutes and the ordinances that you must diligently observe. God here is commanding the Israelites on how to prepare the land God has just given them, which had another people living in it, worshiping other gods, how to prepare the land so they can worship God. They're going to tear down the other altars. They're going to tear down the other idols. They're going to get rid of that stuff. And then God starts to give them instructions on how they will worship God in this new land. The first thing God talks about is the offering. It says, you shall go there bringing there your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your donations, your votive gifts, your freewill offerings, and the firstlings from your herds and flocks. For those of you keeping count at home, God mentions seven different types of giving there. Seven different types of offerings. Seven different ways the Israelites will give to God. Burnt offerings, sacrifices, tithes, donations, votive gifts, freewill offerings, and the firstlings of their herds and flocks. God directs many forms of giving, not just the tithe. The tithe was very important. It's included in this list. Biblically, the Israelites believed the tithe was 10% of what they had, 10% of their crops, 10% of their livestock, 10% of what they produce. Now, before you start squirming in your seat, thinking, oh no, he's going to talk about tithing 10%, and I'm the only person in the room that doesn't, let me assure you, most studies show us the average American Christian tithe is 2 to 3%. 10% is certainly a healthy goal, and as somebody working on the budget this year, I would gladly welcome 10% from anybody, but 2 to 3% is actually realistic in what most people give. But for the Israelites, God had set the tithe at 10%. But that wasn't the end of it. There were other offerings, free will offerings, special festival offerings, special collections, free will donations. The focus in this passage is setting the tone for the future of worship. And the author mentions those offerings given in abasement or atonement. Those offerings we give because of our sin. Those offerings we give because of the forgiveness, because of the salvation, because of the freedom that God has given us. Those offerings that we give from that feeling of duty and obligation. Christ has forgiven me of my sins, so I will give. That's what this is focusing on. These were given out of duty, obligation, requirement. But the author also wants the people to know that giving is more than just what you owe. It's also about what you give, what you sacrifice. And while the required gifts, the tithes, the offerings are important and necessary, giving is also joyful and festive. Your donations, votive gifts, free will offerings, these are when we give and it fills us with joy. When we give to something special, something extra, not as part of our tithe, but above that, beyond that. Let me put it another way. Here are some of our vital ministries and missions here at Marion Christian Church. We participate in the Johnson County Food Ministry, where we go down to cook a meal at an open-door kitchen in Olathe. We serve anywhere from 180 to 300 meals on a Thursday night down there. We just wrapped up our summer snack pack program with Marion Park Elementary School, where we provided food for families on the free and reduced lunch program all through the summer, from May until just a couple weeks ago. We were delivering boxes every Saturday to folks for their families to be able to eat. The Thanksgiving Cornucopia is getting ready to start up in just a couple weeks. That's where at Thanksgiving time we provide a large box of food to families from local elementary schools for Thanksgiving to help them there. And then we roll right into our adopt-a-families at Christmas, where you folks adopt families and purchase gifts for them, and our outreach provides food for them for the Christmas season. I think that we could all agree in our conversations that these are some of our cornerstone ministries, some of our big focus ministries and missions, the things that we talk about, that we get excited about, that we get passionate about. We've been doing the Snack Pack for 9 years, and every year we get geared up for it and get ready for it. All these ministries I just mentioned share one very important characteristic. None of them come out of the budget. Not a single ministry I just mentioned that touches hundreds and even thousands of people over the years, none of that comes from our budget. There is not a line item in our budget for the Make a Difference Fund. That's the fund that supports all those ministries. We don't have a line item for that. There is no part of our regular budget that goes into the Make a Difference. Our budget does support several very important ministries. Every week, we collect our tithes and offerings here in the plates. The money is gathered and counted by our crack finance team. And then the first thing they do is take 10% off the top, and that money is given to our outreach committee, and it is sent out to other ministries, to other missions. A large portion of it goes to our general ministries, to our regional ministries. That helps support things like the reconciliation ministries, starting new churches, providing for missionaries, helping people who are displaced by disaster, like the recent floods and hurricane in the Carolinas. We also take some of that 10%, we give it to local outreach and mission and ministry. We give it to the Salvation Army and the Shawnee Community Services and Crossroads. 10% of everything in the plate goes out to further God's kingdom before we pay one bill, before we pay one salary. But that money is not the only money given. The Make a Difference Fund, which we support with spare change and loose dollar bills from the offering plate, which we support through special offerings throughout the year, the Make a Difference Fund is what undergirds all those ministries I just talked about. The food ministry, the summer snack packs, the cornucopia. It provides funds to help someone get a place to stay for the night, or to help someone with rent or utilities, or to fix a car so someone can get to work. The Make a Difference Fund has come to undergird some of our most vital outreach efforts, and it doesn't come from our budget at all. A couple of years ago, I did something during the offering that I hadn't ever done before. We collected our tithes and offering, and when we got done, I pulled out two empty plates, and I described the situation that had occurred. There was a woman at one of our sister churches downtown, another disciple's church, who had lost her business and her apartment in the tragic fire that took the life of those two firemen a couple years ago. She had had a shop in that block. The shop had burned down. Her home was above it. It had burned. She literally only had the clothes on her back. And I took the empty offering plates after we had already collected our tithes and offerings. And I said, you know, we're going to help this sister of ours. I said, we're just going to pass the plate. Whatever you can give will be a blessing to her. And I didn't know what to expect. I was hoping we could just give her a little something. We ended up collecting $500 by passing the plate a second time. This was not money from tithes and offerings. This was money that you all dug a little deeper and said, you know, I'm going to give to this. I'm going to, you know, this was money I had earmarked for something else, but I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to go a little farther, and I'm going to pitch in for this thing. And it was amazing. It was a beautiful, beautiful way to reach out and touch this sister in Christ that we had. This type of offering is a sacrifice. We'd already given our tithes and offerings, our regular estimated giving that we can afford. Then to have the plate passed again caused us to reach deeper to the money we thought was just for us, beyond our tithe, beyond our regular giving, and sacrifice a little. And it was beautiful. It's not all about the budget. The budget's important. It's very important. And your tithes and offerings support the budget, and thank you for that. But it's not all there is to giving. Giving is about being touched, being moved, to dig deeper than what I can afford, to actually sacrifice for something. And in that giving, that's where my heart grows. That's where my spirit is fed. We have many wonderful opportunities to go beyond our tithe. Offerings where we give from our compassion and kindness. Offerings that go deeper. But they are in addition to the tithe. They are in addition to the budget. They're beyond that regular giving. Sometimes we have a special offering come up, and I'll hear from my finance committee that folks have lowered their regular giving so they can participate in the special giving. We need to realize the sacrifice that is tied to these special offerings. We need you to give your tithe and offerings, your regular, committed, consistent offerings to support and facilitate the budget we have set based upon your estimations of giving. If a special offering comes up, we want you to participate. I hope you would participate in any way possible, because it's amazing to see the people affected by this generosity. I'll share just this small story I just heard this morning. We've been doing the snack packs now for 9 years. This past Thursday, I could not be there, but Carol attended what's called a site council meeting at Marion Park Elementary. This was a gathering of community leaders with the school's leadership, with their social worker, with their community liaison. Our councilman was there. The Marion Police Department was there. Financial institutions are represented. And little old Marion Christian Church. And a large part of the meeting focused on the summer snack pack program and all we do, and how we're the only school in the only church in the district doing that with one of the schools. And so as they talked about that, the president of the PTA was sitting there, and she raised her hand at one point and she said, I have to say something. She said, my family gets this food. We have been touched by it. And she gave her own testimony there about what it's like to receive that type of help for her family of five. What an amazing, beautiful moment. And it came because beyond our tithes and offerings, you folks reached a little deeper and said, yeah, I'm going to give to that summer snack pack program. I'm going to give to that cornucopia that we do. I'm going to adopt a family at Christmas. That extra stuff that becomes the sacrifice, we have to realize that it's a sacrifice. It comes from deeper in our pocket. But that's okay, because it brings glory to God. God doesn't just want 10% of you or 2 to 3% of you. God wants all of you. God wants all of you in it. And when you are, when you sacrifice yourself and give in that way, it brings glory to God. It's the example we are given by the widow in the temple with Jesus. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. It's not all about the budget.